The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back. I am Molly Smith, your host. I want to remind you all that our program is available for download. You can do so by going to our website, fromthemedian.org. Listeners, as always, wonderful to have you with me. Thank you so much for joining. My usual spiel at the beginning of the program is to remind you to use your podcasting programs, downloads and apps, so that we can get more and more people listening to our programs. It's very important right now as we fight the fight of our lives here in Ohio. So if you're in Michigan, please join us, pray for us, help us in any which way you can as we fight this ballot initiative, which of course will be voted on. It looks like it is a go, and it looks like in November of 2023, we will be voting on whether or not abortion becomes the norm at all stages of pregnancy. If that happens, my goodness, all our laws are cast aside, everything goes out the window, and Ohio, which is one of the most pro-life states in the nation, becomes a pro-abortion state. We are, as I say, fighting the fight of our lives right now. And because of that, we are trying to highlight some of the wonderful, wonderful organizations that are out there that are helping all of us to heal from this diabolical cultural shift that's happened across the Western world, to be quite honest with you, across the whole of the Western world, but very, very strongly in America. I have as my next guest a wonderful person who is none other than Christy Baylor. Christy is the regional coordinator in Ohio for the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, which is a project of the Priests for Life and Anglicans for Life. She is also the Project Rachel team for the Diocese of Youngstown and serves on the board of the Alliance Pregnancy Center. Having received healing, Christy helped facilitate a Rachel's Vineyard retreat and previously worked with Concepts for the Truth as a phone consultant with International Helpline for post-abortive and abortion-minded callers. I am so, so happy to have you on the program, Christy, and I think this is the second time you've been on the program. I think way back you came on once before.
Oh, gosh, it must have been a while ago, but thank you, Molly, inviting me to join you today. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We've got lots to talk about, so let's jump right in. I wanted to, if you wouldn't mind, and I think you do this, you tell your story. Can you tell us what happened to you and why you are where you are right now?
Okay, so, I was, when I was 16, I became pregnant, and I unfortunately had friends who took me to Planned Parenthood, and this actually, it wasn't an abortion facility. There were not, even though abortion was legal, this was before Roe v. Wade, just before Roe v. Wade, and it was legal, but there wasn't any facility nearby. So, but the reason they took me to Planned Parenthood was I didn't want my family to know if I was pregnant. So I went for a pregnancy test. Abortion wasn't even in my mind. It wasn't on my mind or anything. I was just scared to, terribly scared. So they took me to Planned Parenthood in Canton. And they confirmed that I was pregnant, at that time about 9 or 10 weeks pregnant. And, they gave me three choices. You can, continue with this pregnancy, and keep the baby, or you can give it up for adoption, or you can end your pregnancy. And we can help you do that. We can't help you with the other two, but we can help you if you do that. And I said, I don't know. And they said, look, it's just a clump of cells, like a tiny tumor. I remember those words, a tiny tumor. That's how they described it. And you're still in high school. What are you going to do? You know, you've got to think about your future and the whole bit. And then the clincher was, nobody has to know.
Oh my goodness,
unless you 50. Tell them. Now, I was 16, you know,
yeah.
My family, I was scared to death, you know, because I didn't want them to know that I had been sexually active with my boyfriend, who was actually 21 and I was only 16, and they didn't approve of him anyway. So I was kind of seeing him on the side, but, or in secret. But so I was scared to death, and they just made it sound like, you know, it was the right thing to do. And then I had to travel to New York to have the abortion. And my boyfriend took me with him to, took me to New York to have the abortion.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
there you go. I mean, just as you're saying that, this is what we're dealing with right now with the abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's the coercion. It's the coercion of everybody around so many women that are having abortions.
And it's taking advantage of a woman or a young girl, in my case, who is so vulnerable to that.
Exactly.
You know, you're so full of fear and you're so full, your mind isn't even thinking correctly.
You're in panic.
And,
yeah,
you're in panic mode.
Yeah.
And they're telling you that this is your way out, you know. And so it is so easy to fall into that trap. And, of course, we know that it's the enemy who uses fear to make us do so many things that we wouldn't do otherwise. So that's how that came about. And immediately afterwards, I heard some soft crying of other girls in the recovery room, and I just started crying, and I knew I'd come in there with a baby. Suddenly I knew it was all a lie. I'd come in there with a baby and I was going home without one. And, but you know, what do you do? What do you do, Molly, in
mm-hmm,
that case?
Exactly.
What else can you do? But I made the decision. I just made that decision right then and there. Look, you stop crying right now. You stop crying. You chose to do this, and you're going to pretend like this never happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thought process. I'm going to pretend like this never happened. And I went into denial, and I just, you know, and then it just goes from there. And but the wound in your soul, it does not just heal
just
or go away.
Just because you've decided it's going to get doesn't, it's still wounded. Yeah.
And we see this among so many women who have, you know, they are in such denial and they're in such pain, but they can't recognize that, because to recognize that, they would have to admit what they've done is horrendous. And that's very hard to do. So that's where we kind of come in with Silent No More and all of our healing programs, trying to help them when they are ready to, you know, heal that wound. And eventually, sometimes it took me over 30 years before I was able to, I lived with that pain and self-destructive behaviors and everything that went along with it until I just got so desperate and I was on the verge of suicide. And I just said, I reached out to a God I didn't even really know at that point, and I just asked for his help. And I said, if you think my life is worth living, and you really do exist, can you help me? And I had an amazing spiritual encounter, and he saved my life. And that is part of why I do what I do, because I know that my life, there was a purpose and a reason for saving my life. And that purpose and reason is to help others, not only heal, but also to try to get the message out to prevent others from doing what I did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
it's interesting that you say it took you so long to actually come to to the acceptance. One of the things that I hear oftentimes is that we should not be, particularly from pregnancy centers, some of the pregnancy centers, let me say that way, that they need to leave, Christ out of it, God out of it. And I've heard, on both sides of it. And I always don't know, how do you do that? When you're talking about a human life, made in the image of and likeness of God. So if that person, if that woman does not know God, why is it? That is a wonderful opportunity to tell them about God, really.
Well, that's, and that's true. And I am on the board of a pregnancy center, and I understand what they're up against too. And as someone who took calls from abortion-minded women and from those who were, post-abortion calling for help, sometimes it's just finding the right time.
Yeah.
And God can lead you to do that. And with the pregnancy center, I know that our staff is amazing. They are so amazing because they try to meet the woman where she's at. But they give her truth, they give her all the information she needs to know, and then they always ask whether they can share, share their faith.
Yeah.
And if the woman gives any indication that she's receptive to that, then they, by all means, do.
Yeah.
They do not force it, and that's
course.
What we've been accused, of course,
yeah.
of doing, is that, you take these women and you force... Yeah, I love how they, they think we're coercing women.
when your very personal experience says, didn't happen. It happened from your side.
The coercion is so heavy on the other side, yeah. It's not even funny.
Yeah,
but
So why, you've got a threefold mission at Silent No More Awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So you reach out, you educate, and then you share. Tell us about how this happens.
Well, so first of all, we reach out to people hurt by abortion by encouraging them to attend abortion aftercare programs. And then we try to invite those who are ready to break the silence, because not everyone is, and under certain circumstances. It took me many years before I could become public with my story. But we invite them to speak the truth about abortion's negative consequences and the hope that's found in healing. We educate the public that abortion is harmful emotionally, physically, and spiritually to not just women, but men and families. So the point of that is that it becomes unacceptable for anyone to recommend abortion as a fix for a problem pregnancy, because the more people who understand what it does to us, the more they will understand that they shouldn't be the ones who will say, well, you have to do what you have to do. And then we share our personal testimonies, our hurt and our pain and the healing that we've gone through to help others avoid that pain. And we're a personal witness. And personal witness is far more powerful than anything else, because we have the experience and we know what it's like to go through this. And we've come out the other side. Thanks be to God, and His grace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of those three.
It's interesting, the sharing the personal experience as we are fighting this abortion amendment right now, to putting it into our Constitution. One of the things that we have recognized is that one of the most powerful things we have is to share our stories, to tell the story of, what we've seen, where we're going. All those those stories, and the left and the pro-aborts are so good at their side of telling stories. And we, for some reason, groups like yours can do it, but for the general public, we're really trying to say to people, if you know of a story, tell the story.
Tell the story.
Yes, yes. So powerful.
Absolutely.
When we can do that.
Yeah. So if anyone would just go to our website at Silent No More, you can look up all the stories of thousands of women and men and families who have experienced this and their regret. And so there's always lots of stories out there, and you can refer people to them. We also offer to give our witness to churches or organizations and speak out. We hold our sign, "I regret my abortion," when we go to marches or rallies, 40 Days for Life vigils, anywhere that we can get the message out. But people, other people who feel that they haven't got a story, then they're invited to use our stories and to point that out.
What made you speak out? You know, and I this maybe will help somebody who's out there that needs to know why, when, if, you know, all of those questions, why, when, if, what, you know, do I speak out? What do I say? How can I use my experience to impact the culture positively?
Well, after going through healing, I went through a Rachel's Vineyard retreat and also another Bible study program. But I learned that Jesus wanted me to forgive myself. And so I accepted that he had forgiven me, but he wanted me to forgive myself, and he wanted me to help others forgive themselves. So I guess that's kind of what led me into, you know, I went to the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and I saw these women holding this sign, "I regret my abortion." And I just felt called to do that, to do that too. Because I had been able to reconcile with my child and finally find peace and hope for my future. And I thought, you know, this is what God is calling me to do. And it's, I know it's not easy. And every time I stand with my sign, you know, declaring the worst sin of my whole life to the whole world, it's difficult. It's not easy. And, but I just remember that, you know, what he's done for me. Mm-hmm. And, that's what propels me. And to honor my child, and all those precious ones that have been lost, this is my way of doing that. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage anyone who feels like if they haven't been through healing to contact us through Silent No More or your local diocesan Project Rachel team, which is wonderful, can direct you to confidential help, and just consider what God is calling you to do with your pain after he heals you.
The shockwaves of abortion, you don't even have to be a pro-lifer to understand the incredible shockwaves of abortion. You know, when you have women standing on the side of the sidewalks, screaming at everybody, "We love killing our babies," and this is what happened after that is a shockwave of abortion. Every time I think about those young girls and those young women that were doing that, I think that is pain. We are seeing the most incredible pain in these people. So this abortion goes to the very heart of every single person. How do you see this affecting us right now?
Oh my goodness. I believe it's diabolical.
I do too. I say it all the time on the program. It is a diabolical attempt. Yeah.
But the truth is, we have all been affected in some way by the widespread fallout of legalized abortion in our culture, whether it's directly or indirectly. And Silent No More, we have a Healing the Shockwaves of Abortion section of our website. There's information pertaining to healing for grandparents, siblings, survivors, and friends, abortion providers. Oh, the Black community, especially hard hit statistically, the church, and even us pro-lifers, Molly, like ourselves, who suffer from the angst of not being able to end this horrendous attack against innocent life. We need healing. We need that help too. We need God fortifying us in this fight, because it truly is a spiritual battle, and we need to be fortified on our side to fight back. So yeah, that's what I would say. It's just, it's devastated our communities. And the fallout, those who've had abortions, you know, I abused alcohol. I abused sex afterwards. I was trying to run from my pain any way I could, and I didn't, and I felt so horrible about myself that I didn't think I was worthy, of good things in my life. And I even eventually, you know, had myself sterilized so that I wouldn't become pregnant again. I was so fearful of ever becoming pregnant again. So I never had any children. I married late, and I never had any children. So that, you know, there are so many consequences of it. It's the drug problem. You know, what we are doing to ourselves, and I link it all with, you know, what the culture of death has pervaded our culture.
Mm-hmm. You're so right, and I know that, you know, it is a cancer that is just eating through us. You know, I'm very, very fit. I'm very, very hopeful after the Dobbs decision. I think what that has done, even though we are fighting for our lives right now in Ohio, what it has done is it's empowered a lot. I am absolutely thrilled. I am absolutely grateful. I thank you, dear Lord, for the strength that I'm seeing coming out of the various, the Ohio Catholic Conference of Bishops, for example. You know, so many of the people are now, so many of the clergy are actually stepping up, and they've seen it. I mean, they're beginning to talk out. You know, I'm thrilled about that. I'm just praying for those that are not yet talking out. Please talk out. Please say something.
And we need to encourage them.
Yes, exactly.
And the ones who do, we need to back them up and to, you know, let them know. Don't be silent. Do not be silent on that. And when you hear a priest or a deacon or anybody in the church saying something that is bold and the truth, you need to let them know, because they're going to get attacked. From the other side.
That's
so we have to stand with them too. And if we stand with them and encourage them, more and more of them will do that, Mom.
Exactly
right.
You're absolutely right. And you know, just a wonderful story, Jeremy. I know that you probably heard about the very, very brave priest in Bay Village, which is, you know, right on my side of the town, who stood up and, you know, and called out the transgender movement and got, you know, doxed, basically, totally doxed by the plain dealer, total rag that it is. But they doxed him, and, you know, this very, very damaged poor woman who just got up and started, you know, talking about that she's a he and all the rest of it, and she's a they or whatever it was. But the, you know, the whole thing. Well, I cannot tell you, Christy, how supported he was. The following Sunday, people came to his mass, to his church. He didn't, you know, he's got a couple of different priests that say mass there, but came there and to support him and to give him a hug. He stood at the back of the church. Everybody was lining up to hug him, to say, well done, Father Tim.
Well done.
Yeah.
A group of us in Canton, my pro-life friends from Canton area, and we made calls.
We called
his parish, and we let them know, you know, thank you. We've heard about what he did. And thank him, and we are praying for him, and you know, and actually the secretary said, well, we've gotten quite a few, you know, these calls, a few of the other, but a lot of the good ones, and that does help.
It does help.
So thank
it
you.
Does. Yeah. So there is, you know, there's always the light. There's always the light, and the light is Christ. So we need to go, you know, remember that as we go forward. Christy, thank you so much. Again, it's a Silent No More awareness campaign. I am going to put their website up on our website so that you can go straight there if you need it. But don't forget that healing from abortion is absolutely possible. And if you go through the Silent No More, which of course is the Rachel Vintage, and we didn't get to Project Rachel, but we'll do that the next time. We'd love to have you back on again.
actual website is Hope After Abortion.
Oh, there you go. So, look at that. Hope After Abortion.
So that's another good resource. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Christy Gaylord. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. And God bless you, Molly, for all you've done. You've been such a hero in our pro-life movement. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care and God bless you lots.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say good night and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener-supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org, or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.